Govinda. Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrindavanda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrindavanda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrindavanda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrindavanda. Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrindavanda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Vrindavanda. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Giranagrida. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Giranagrida. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Giranagrida. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai 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 Giranagrida. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jai Jaya Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Jai Guru Dev. Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Bila Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva. Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Lila Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva. Lila Radu Damodara, Jaya Radu Damodara. Jaya Radu Damodara, Jaya Radu Damodara. Jaya Radu Damodara, Jaya Radu Damodara. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath. Jayo Baladev, Jayo Baladev, go Subhadra. Hayo Radha Kalachandi, Hayo Radha Kalachandi, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Leela Prabhupada. Vishnu Paramahamsa Prakacharya, so sort of C.C. Mahat, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai Om Vishnu Paramahamsa Prakacharya, C.C. Mahat, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Kaur Maharaj Ki, Srila Namacharya Haridasa Kaur Ki, Prem Se Ho Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Srila Dvaita Ganahar, Srila Pasadi Go Bhaktivinda Ki, Si Si Radha Krishna, Sama Sundarada Kunda Gita Govardhana Ki, Vrindavan Dham Ki, Mathura Dham Ki, Navadvip Dham Ki, Jamuna Mai Ki, Ganga Mai Ki, Tulasi Devi Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki. All glories of the assembly of devotees. All glories of the assembly of devotees. All glories to Siguru and Siguranga. Don't worry, I still got some more days before I leave my body, so I'll be around a little while. A little while longer, if Krishna provides. I want to talk about such today. We're continuing, because the theme, die before dying. Dying to live. That by proper dying, we access eternal life. And so a difficult meditation for me, several were very difficult. The meditation of honoring cancer with love. Another difficult meditation was considering how we depart to connect deeper eternally. We depart to connect deeper eternally. That for Vaishnavas, our departure means jai, victory. And it means that the person who departs, as well as those who've known that entity, they all have a chance to connect deeper. As the soul has accelerated, then there's a deeper connection in what that soul will experience in its next services, in the unfoldment, hopefully, of its original swarup. As we look at the position of disciple and guru, we realize that it never has and never was to be something that was just for the moment. Prabhupada's presence and all the great acharyas, they came in for a flickering period, but they
came to plant amazing seeds, to leave an amazing legacy that helps to remind us over and over again that Krishna consciousness is alive and that Krishna is ever making himself available. If you just pause for a minute with me, think of all the different kinds of ways that people say goodbye. And it's very deep. It's very hilarious. And it's often very duplicitous. Often when people say goodbye, they're really saying, I'm glad you're out of my life. Often when people say goodbye, they're happy that they do not have to tolerate that person as a guest any longer. Often when people say goodbye, they're hoping the next time they meet that it surely will be better than the previous time, if there is another meeting. As devotees, we say goodbye, first understanding that if we are proper devotees, we are not concerned with anything basically orthodox. We don't care whether someone is healthy or sick. We don't care ultimately whether somebody is rich or poor. We don't care ultimately whether somebody is beautiful or, based on the cultural standard, ugly. We don't care how knowledgeable someone or how devoid of knowledge. All of these things is relative to the material bodies that we all have had and will have many, many lifetimes. So the high-level devotees of the Lord, they come to show us how to deny ultimately and bring death to materialism. That doesn't mean that being a devotee means that there is something wrong with being successful. No, it means you must be successful. But real success is to what degree you're connecting with transcendence. And if you're not connecting deeper and deeper with transcendence, then even what you call success is your greatest failure. So I'm going through the greatest successful period of my life on this planet, that I've lived a life of service, have offered my mind, my intellect, and body to the service of my Guru and Krishna. And now, being able to die these last weeks or so of days with great honor. Just yesterday, we sent out a notice. I think we initiated 200 additional new devotees for first. And am I right? About 100 for second. That in itself is enough to take away this body in the next day or two. We do not mind dying for those who you love. We do not mind absorbing certain levels of karma for those who are trying to become lovers themselves. But if you're interested in Mukti Bhukti City, your basic idea is how to become a yogi, how to become very healthy, how to become very wise. Hey, you've done that millions of times in millions of lifetimes. And to do that, for any of you who've been exposed to transcendence, is your failure. To the degree that that becomes a priority, that has been your failure in this particular lifetime. Why do all the great saints and acharyas and teachers tell us, love not this world or the things of this world, this place of Martyr Loka? They're not telling us to be masochists, sadists. They're not telling us to go around with an attitude of morbidity. They're telling us, don't play into the illusions and the confusions that this body and this material world and even religiosity is designed for. Religiosity, where it fragments people, just like racism and tribalism, is another form often of stagnation, because it is dharma, ethics and morality, and it doesn't go beyond that. That if we want to access the spiritual world, we have to go beyond the heavenly kingdoms, beyond religious principles. We have to be able to be that. We have to be able to be that spiritual potency in action. The problem is that when someone is having that or possessing that, almost never do people recognize it. Do people recognize Lord Chaitanya in total? No. Do people recognize Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami? No. So many people who interacted with them directly liked them because they were kind, but had no idea they were residents of the spiritual world. Did many people who met Prabhupada know that they're meeting someone who was one of the greatest entities they've ever going to come in contact with on this planet? No. Many saw him as a nice, interesting, elderly gentleman who was converting and changing people in some miraculous way. And some even thought that he was just an amazing combination of a spiritual businessman and a saint or a teacher of Vedic cosmology. So what is my experience is all of your experience right around the corner is that it is not so important exactly how you die, whether it's a car accident, whether it's so-called old age, whether it's the most vicious disease, is that what is most sure is that every single person, except the category we mentioned, Jiva Muktas, and who never die, every single person is born and then dies. So what we are having to do at this time is we're all fortunate that we're having a chance to live the Bhagavatam. What is one to do at the time of death? We have a week, as Maharaj pictured. Or if we have 1 month, or if we have 1 year, or 1 decade, what do we do? Because all the things that we thought were important is going to be left behind and will in most cases be taken and divided either by the government or relatives or so-called friends. So we think about the different ways that people say goodbye. I mean, you think about an airplane, train, taxi. The way you say goodbye to the taxi driver is different than how you say goodbye perhaps to the airline stewardess, who you spend a little more time with, who's been a little more involved in your comfort. The way you say goodbye to the pilot, because we have had our lives even more in their hands. The way you say goodbye to your child when you send them off to school. The way you say goodbye to your boyfriend who you had snuck into the house is also different. Each case, the way you greet someone, as is the way you offer departure greetings, says a lot about the relationship, a lot about your comfort. There is separation and there is union. There is Vipalamba Seva. Four different aspects of Vipalamba Seva. The science of spiritual intense love based on separation, union, separation. There are also four different types of union of Sambhoga. In the Jaya Dharma, as well as Jiva Goswami in the Prithi Sandarbha, mentioned that there cannot be the deep level of development of the devotional kripa, the deep level of the highest experience of Sambhoga without Vipalamba. They give the example, it's like taking a red cloth and merging it into red dye. So now that cloth becomes even more red because it has come in contact with its essence, but that has added to its essence. So let me just mention briefly some points of Sambhoga and Vipalamba, and then I want to read our meditation. We bid each other farewell to connect deeper. We have one or two left. I was going to read this as the last one, but the way the body has been deteriorating, I wasn't so sure By the time I get around to reading this, if I would be in a position to articulate where you would be able to hear me. So, in the science of separation, Vipralamba, which, mind you, is the highest expression of bhakti. And so this has very little to do with general religiosity. How does separation represent a greater connection with God? First, because higher level bhakti is based on selflessness. And so therefore, the residents in Vrindavan, their greatest excitement is not how what they experience, but how they push others forth, or how they arrange for others to have the experience. And because ultimately, the greatest barometer of love is the gopis, Srimati Radharani. And as Radharani is non-different, I think, Prabhu, for now you should sit. Radharani and Krishna are non-different. And so when someone is non-different, then really there really can never be real separation. But then what may appear to be separation has this unique way of enhancing a certain level of excitement based on the previous union and the potentialities of what will come up in the next union. So the spiritual world being ever increasing, that means separation is just a greater chance for another expression of ever increasing love. And so when people say goodbye, or I see you later, or whatever, then they're really saying that I rest what we've experienced at this time while I prepare and you prepare for what we're going to share and to experience later. And so therefore, togetherness is very powerful because one is having the experience. Separation is very powerful because one is thinking about the next experience while still experiencing some carryover from the previous. So the first type of separation is called purva rag. And this is a separation where one is experiencing this great prema, even though not having met their beloved. Nothing can describe this in general philosophical or religious terminologies. But we see at the story of Rukmini, of how before even meeting Krishna, she was already totally captured, totally given her heart, and totally experiencing the power of union and separation, even though she had never met. Another example, you hear about somebody very wonderful. The more wonderful they are, the more hearing about them becomes intoxicating, exciting to you. Just like so many entities on the planet never met Srila Prabhupada. So many never saw him. But just hearing about him, they acquired faith in the philosophy and the process and a certain amount of determination to go on in spite of whatever the challenges that they had to experience. Because in one sense, Krishna consciousness is a process to bring you on board to see how to shake you off. In other words, Maya's duty is especially to try to keep any entity from leaving her domain. So therefore, when you're on the jet path that takes you back to Godhead, then Maya has a duty to put every kind of thing in front of you that can possibly cause you to have alleged or justifiable reason to say, oh no, enough of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. It's cheating mentality because whatever that we do, whether it's in commerce, it's in education, it's in politics, that we have to deal with people and issues and institutional concerns and sometimes philosophical concerns that we're not 100% comfortable with. If any one of you say you're 100% comfortable with your job, 100% comfortable with your husband, your wife, your children, anyone says you're 100% comfortable with your life until I'll say you are a big liar. Because there's no ultimate perfection in these bodies that are limited, that are limiting the soul from what it can experience. You tolerate your jobs. You tolerate different kinds of partnerships. Because what you want out of that is sufficient enough for you to continue. When you do not want something deep enough, then the natural sign is that you leave it alone, you reject it, you find a reason to back away. And so one aspect of Krishna consciousness is to see who is genuinely ready to once and for all never have to enter into a material body, or who wants to be a Lord Brahma, who wants to be a Gandharva, a Vijahara, who wants to be a great yogi, who wants to be very wealthy. And so they connect spiritually for such. So next is called mana. And this is a madness. This we have divya mata, or madness, where there is just overwhelming madness with intoxication and love. When there's the highest level of love, it goes beyond bureaucracy, it goes beyond laws. It goes beyond whatever you receive, is being able to be so selfless that you are that. You are love, and you are giving love, regardless to how and when or why not other people may respond to you. This does not mean to put yourself in a situation that people walk over you. It means that you own your power to such an extent that you don't let anybody else's maya or any problem of others or your own mind distract you from connecting with the highest source of love. So the mana is like the example of the devotees in Raj, and especially the gopis in Radharani, is that sometimes they hide from each other. They refuse to look at each other. They refuse to embrace because they're in a mindset of love with anticipation, anxiety, and seemingly anger, but transcendental anger. And so there's that separation of just really wanting, like somebody's there and you really want to just run and embrace them. But in your mind, you want to do that, but physically or intellectually, you're keeping space. And so there's a separation, but there's really all a part of the dynamics of union and affection. And then there is pravasa, or where lovers meet and they have union, they have association, and then they separate. And the last category is prem vasitya. And this is where even when lovers are together, they are in so much affection and rapture and captivation is that they are thinking that the other one has left or is not there. So this is like in the case of Maru Mangala when he says Madhusudana is gone. And so it sounds like he's saying Madhusudana or Krishna. He's referring to the bee is now gone. But in Sanskrit is similar, or in Vijabhasi language. And so even though Krishna is there, Radharani is overwhelmed in ecstasy and mood and mindset of separation. And even though Krishna is there with her, seeing her mood of separation, he goes into a mood of separation, even though they're both physically with each other. And then briefly, four types of Sambhoga. Some of these are in dreams, and some is physical. It's like some of you have begun to have dreams of my imminent departure. And some of you, when we first met, we met through the medium of a dream. And some of us, when we first met Prabhupada or our spiritual masters, we didn't physically meet them, but we met them through a dream or through a trance. Or we heard their voice and we had a revitalized connection. And so the Sambhoga is being in the same environment. Just as the president of the country, for what it may be, we happen to be in the same environment. And we say, oh, we met the president. So that's the first level. But then the second is someone introduces us to the president. And the third is that you have personal chance to talk to the president. And in a spiritual case, you have chance to slap, or that is, to embrace the president. With all due respects to our head of state. So in each case, with the separation, there is great anticipation for what can happen and what has happened. And in the case of the togetherness, different levels where we join up with Krishna. So I'm going to read this short meditation. And then today we don't have sannyasi or guru guest. So I'll sit another 5 or 10 minutes and take questions if my body allows. When we mentioned about leaving a legacy, when someone is very, very great, sometimes we experience their greatness fully while they're around. But more than not, if they're actually great, we experience a greater appreciation of them when they're not physically around, because then whatever unhealthy part of their ego that may have been there doesn't interfere with the effort and the work, or whatever aspect of our own ego then doesn't jump into action to such an extent. Plus, some things bear themselves out in time. When something is impure, something is not proper, in time it manifests and it shows. We bid each other farewell to connect deeper. When we greet someone, we are honoring their presence and we recognize their existence in connection with our existence. Think about that. We are accepting them into our reality. We bid someone farewell, we are normally doing the opposite. We're separating ourselves as they are separating themselves from us. A farewell establishes a formal recognition to alter the relationship, to dismiss oneself from the environment, to honor another's dismissal. One is either honoring his or her departure or honoring the departure of another. When I was told that I have advanced melanoma cancer and might have only 6 months to live, which it was very wonderful for me in so many ways, because since I had made the prayer to take on extra to minimize the sins of others, and to hear that I had 6 months, and I told the doctor, of course, thank you, that's a long time. I either have time to change this, turn this around, if it's supposed to happen, or I have chance to prepare for a glorious departure. I began to think of all the people in my life to whom I should or could bid farewell to. But did I actually want to dismiss myself from them or them from me? It seemed that instead I wanted to be more present in their lives, and I wanted them to be more present in my life. My biological family members telephoned me several times, one by one expressing their concerns and prayers. Then later a group of them, my immediate brother and sisters, came to visit with me for a few days. We laughed together and we cried together and reflected on many things dear to all of us, especially my deceased mother, who was highly spiritual and who so expertly inspired all of us. As we talked and prayed together, we could feel my mother's presence. My brother and sister, we all bonded together with each other so nicely. And then they focused their collective attention and affection on myself. They all knew that this could possibly be the last time we would be together. So everyone was so very happy for each moment that we had. It was as if we were all experiencing each other's sweetness and love for the first time. Just as the sickness has gone on, so much the love between myself and God brothers and God sisters and disciples has just amplified so many times that it's just amazing. But like one of the disciples from Australia during the Vyasa Puja said, but how unfortunate it is that Guru has to be dying before we become more serious or look closer at the relationship. They all knew that this could be the last time. It was as if we were all experiencing each other's sweetness and love for the first time. I thought how wonderful for Krishna to have given me such a variegated and charming and spiritual and biological family. I am the baby, spoiled baby in the family of two brothers and four sisters. This, of course, surrounded me with loving affection as a spoiled younger sibling. Although we bid each other farewell, we really want to connect on a deeper level, not actually desiring to dismiss ourselves with each other. I wondered why it could not always be like this. Many of my old friends that I grew up with, they called me. Some I had not heard from for many years. They all heard that I might be leaving the body quite soon, and they wanted to reflect on our past associations. We shared how much we benefited from each other's associations and how much we would miss each other. We laughed and we cried together. Although we bid each other farewell, we really wanted to connect on a deeper level, not actually desiring to dismiss ourselves from each other. I wondered why it could not always have been like this. I have three more paragraphs. I was so fortunate to get visits and phone calls from God brothers and God sisters from all over the world. It was so wonderful. We shared pastimes of our guru and many of our preaching services that we had done together. We went over various conflicts and problems we had experienced in our different associations, and very honest and openly shared realizations and deep appreciations of each other. We laughed and cried, creating exchanges that were so powerful, sweet and loving. It was as if we were discovering each other for the first time. The happiness of knowing and accepting Krishna and Śrīla Prabhupāda's mercy for bringing us all together as spiritual generals was just so overwhelming. Visit after visit, phone call after phone call, we bid each other farewell, not actually desiring to dismiss each other, but really wanting to connect on a deeper level. I wonder why it could not always be like this. I was so fortunate to get visits, telephone calls, letters from many disciples all around the world. It was so meaningful and wonderful as we shared these deep loving sentiments. We discussed so many pastimes and associations together. We also laughed and cried. My words and writings penetrate now even deeper into most of their hearts, and their loving prayers and words reached out deep to the sacred chambers of my heart, never to leave. It was as if we were discovering each other's sweetness and love for the first time. Not knowing if death would come to me soon, although we bid each other farewell, we really wanted to connect on a deeper level, not actually desiring to dismiss ourselves from each other. I wondered, however, why it could not always be this way. Then here's the last thoughts I leave you with. So these two paragraphs will summarize. We have so many associations that has always been so wonderful. But often we appreciate them more when there is some tragedy, abrupt change, or interesting challenge, and either ours or someone else's life. Many of these significant changes make us and them feel as if we are encountering each other in a wonderful, revealing, and joyful presence for the first time. It is at times, these times, we bid each other farewell, that we often connect on a deeper level than we had experienced during the previous unions and associations. And here's the last paragraph to keep in mind. As we are all more mindful and appreciate what we are, what we have with our beloveds, each moment can be as powerful as a profound connection that is experienced when we're anticipating separation or dealing with separation and arranging for a union. As I wonder why it cannot always be like this, I, the beggar, am now aware that it can always be like this. You and I can make it like this by always bidding each other farewell in the mind and not desiring to dismiss each other, but actually capturing each moment and allowing each encounter to be as if it is or could be our last. Hare Krishna. So, let's see if I can stand another 5 or 10 minutes before we adjourn. So, if you have a question, I can take a few questions. I'm just about on the fag end of my energy. But if you have a question now, let us try to take it. Who has? And if not, I'll take the cue to leave. Yes. Hand the mic around.
Haribo Gurudev, thank you again for sharing with us today.
Since I water. Go ahead, yes.
Since I've known you, you have always deferred to Srila Prabhupada often, and even during this period, you have indicated it is what Srila Prabhupada decides. You have checked in with Srila Prabhupada since he left the planet. So my question to you is, I, as your disciple, would like to be able to check in with you. And I am aware that one of the things I have to do is honor the contract that I have with you. There is no question in my mind that there will be rocky periods.
Make the question a little short so I can be able to
okay,
get two or three.
Okay. There will be rocky periods upon your departure. So the question is, how do we check in with you the way you checked in with Srila Prabhupada?
It's very simple. First, while the spiritual master is present, she clarify anything that there may be any ambiguity in. Second is that we should never just accept our intelligence based on what we think that the guru wants. Is that we all have an individuality and we're not to be blind followers. But if we're really trying to be in the spirit of thy will be done, then we should first clarify anything that we feel is ambiguous. And then after that, we should check in with senior devotees and do the Shastra. In your case, it's very simple. That you are going to maintain the house as a museum house. All the paraphernalia, everything that's in there is personal gifts. That it will be for the museum. If somehow something happens to the house, which you presently own, it means that all the things that are in the house becomes a permanent part of wherever the next facility, those things are transferred to. So it's quite simple. Is that when Prabhupada left, then we were more into trying to find different things he had used, different things that had been a part of his service. That didn't belong to any one person. And so that was it was housed in different buildings. First, it was housed, major housing was in New York. And so the temple building, like any landlord, they own a building, but they don't own people's furniture, books, toothbrush, or whatever. So those things in the paraphernalia, which in Chaitanya Charitamrita is called tadiya, it becomes worshipable. So therefore, that is no individual person's property, and those caretakers like yourself should then see that that is made available. First, you should see that the house is firm. But for some reason, because anything can happen, and you are ill yourself with cancer, so if something happens unfortunate, that the house cannot be maintained, then the devotees have to come together and see how either to purchase the house and maintain it as a museum, or whatever. But the idea is that the house should be a guest house and a museum. And you have to figure out the ways of how that's going to be maintained. We don't just want a big house that has all kinds of things in it, books, whatever, and it's not used. At the same time, we want things to have some sense of permanence, just like with any museum. And so that's a simple thing. It only becomes complex when egos get involved, or becomes complex when we want credit, or becomes complex we're not ready to receive feedback from others. It becomes complex when we're so busy serving the guru that we forget how to serve guru. So many of my disciples, they're so busy serving according to their idea that they call that service. And that's a form of worship. And that's cultism. But it's not actual service. Because real service is that you are ready to do what will enhance one's beloved. So for us, our beloved is Krishna, Sadhu, and Guru. So we're supposed to be eager to make any kind of personal sacrifice that allows Guru's desire, that is to help others, to go on. Okay? So anything else that is not clear, you better call me in the next couple of days, because I'm not going to be around long. Or even better, I'll put it on a tape recorder. I'll put what I said now, anything else, on the tape recorder, so that it's clear. We've already had so many documents that we have set up, just as we're setting up a fund, that after I leave, then devotees from all around the world can be able to use that as a medical fund, where they'll be giving out grants, small grants, from $100 to $5,000. So there'll be a board. There's a board already set up to see how that will be distributed. We will announce it on major websites so the devotee community is aware. And then, like anything else, it should be into legitimate request. Yes. Anyone else question? That's it. Anyone else? Let me not end on an administrative question. Okay, go ahead. So this will be our last question. I think it's Krishna's mercy on me that I can leave soon now. Okay, go ahead. Pritchett? Go ahead.
Giving without.
So some of you couldn't hear. How can we be properly concerned about the welfare of others while we have our own struggles and genuine issues, how can we even kind of think that we can put energy into trying to save someone else, and perhaps we haven't come anywhere near to saving ourselves? Well, the issue is simple. In the process of bhakti, one does not wait to become perfect. It's just like in an emergency situation, someone may have to jump in as a medic. Someone has only had a little basic training, and they may have to jump in to fill in for a nurse or even a doctor. So better that they are more efficient themselves. That means one should always work on themselves. But even if not, they should offer the best that they can. And the transcendental system is that as you offer the best that you can, the more Krishna will give you. You can't believe what Krishna has given me in these 32 years of service to Prabhupada. You can't believe what Krishna has given me by taking to a renounced life, by giving up sex life, where I don't have a home, a car, a credit card, a cell phone, a bank account. I don't have anything. The things I have, the people have given me, and most of those I give away. Just a matter of time. So we think that we may be giving, but the more that we're trying to connect with love, the more the Lord he defeats us. This is the aspect of yayatamam papajante, that as we try to surrender, Krishna will give more. If Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Ramanujacharya, Sankaracharya, Zoroastrian, it doesn't go on. If they just start, hold a minute, but what about me? You know, how would anything ever happen? But also, if they try to preach and to do things without potency, there would simply be sentiment. So Prabhupada said, we are the people who understand that religion without philosophy is sentimentality. And philosophy without religion is speculation. So we want to have deep philosophy and understanding while we commit ourselves, our mind, body, and of course our soul, to the service of others. And the more that we try to get something, develop something, so that we can serve, the more Krishna has already intervened and has arranged for our own needs far beyond what we could expertly plan for ourselves. So I need to get up now before I collapse on the floor. But we'll try to be with you if possible to finish off the last two beggars. But we should all be clear that we are down to the last weeks. We have made our additional prayer that on our part now we're ready to leave any time. Now we will just see, according to the helpers, my guru's desire, what else I need to do and plan it before leaving. And so that is coming to a wonderful closure. And I thank you all for participating and allowing me to serve you in so many ways year after year. I thank you for allowing me to offer so much to my guru, because all the services you've done has been something I can offer to Prabhupada. So imagine how proud I am that in so many, many heterogeneous and variegated ways, I was able and still am able to offer to Prabhupada. It's not just the 300 devotees we just initiated yesterday, but it's the constant little efforts in trying to share something that will encourage you in serving your guru, to share something that will encourage you in accepting Krishna consciousness with greater faith, something that will encourage you in seeing the beauty of selflessness and sacrifice. ISKCON Founder Srila Prabhupada ki. C.C. Radha Damodara ki. C.C. Radha Kalachandji ki. Gornita ki. Okay, let's check this out quick.